Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Relating to Each Other Through Constant Change as Destiny Reservists. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
How many of you have been to a 10-year or 15-year or even 20-year high school reunion? What are they? I think they start at 10 years, don't they? How many of you had a blast and really enjoyed it? It's okay to be honest. Okay. I hated them. And I went to about probably an hour's worth of one, and they usually are extended activities over 3 days or something. And because for a while I lived in the same town that I graduated from, so there was a little pressure, you know, because the high school reunion was right there in the town that I lived in. So I'd drop in for about an hour. And I did that with my 10-year and the 15-year, but I didn't do it with the 20-year. And I was miserable, just miserable. And I felt guilty for being miserable. I thought there had to be something wrong with me. And finally, when I really figured out why I was miserable, it was because the people that I hadn't seen in 10 years, they related to me as they remembered me in high school. Well, I'm not a high school kid anymore, and they're not a high school kid anymore, and hopefully we've evolved a little bit and grown up a little bit. We're no longer 17 years old. And because most people, if they hadn't seen each other in those 10 years or those 15 years, they would tend to relate to the person as they did when we were in high school. And I was miserable with that because I had already moved beyond all that. I could hardly remember a lot of the little stories and the gossip of when I was a senior in high school. And so it was miserable for me. And it still is a struggle for me to spend too much time with any of my beloved biological family members or old friends that I knew before I came into this reality here. And though my love for these people has not changed, it's more difficult to really spend a whole lot of time with them and join them. And the reason is, and I'm sure that many of you have experienced this too, is because they still want to relate to me as who I was before I came into this reality. And they want to relate to me as Nancy rather than Neon. Even though most of my family members do call me Neon, which I really appreciate, that they're trying to respect that, but they still want to relate to me in the old way because they have no idea of who I am now. And I've shared with some of you before, about a year ago, my one sister, I'm the eldest in the family, so all my siblings are younger than me, one of my younger sisters, in tears and in anger as well as grief, shared with me that she wanted her sister Nancy back. You know, she missed her, and on and on and on. And my brother just recently, within the last few months, had shared with my mother shared with me, that he misses me every day. And they don't understand who I am now, and yet they're not really willing to explore that. That scares them. So they want to relate to me as I used to be. So it makes it difficult for me to spend too much time with them, though I can enjoy their company for about 3 or 4 hours. Any longer, it begins to become not very pleasant. And it does cause me tremendous pain because my love for them is even more than it was before. Because as I grow to love God more, I can't help but love people more, including my family members that I grew up with. So I can remember when I first met Gabriel, and I had a meeting. So I had gone over to see my family, and they'd met Gabriel and everything, and my mother and father wanted to talk to me, my father especially, and they were very concerned about me getting involved with this strange dude here, as if I hadn't gotten involved with strange people before, but he's really strange. And they didn't understand him. They didn't understand him. And, you know, they knew that I had wanted to leave my life before I ever met Gabriel, my old life, my profession and everything. And they were hoping, just hoping that they could convince me to stay, because they wanted me to be around them. And they, of course, it's nice to have a daughter who's a successful teacher, blah, 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 all that stuff. But they knew when they met Gabriel that he was the doorway for me to leave, and the avenue for me to leave. And that's why they were so concerned. But my mother, in that conversation we had, she made the statement, well, I should know better. You're always changing. You've always been this way. You're always trying something new. And we might as well get used to it. You're always running off and trying something else. And she didn't necessarily mean it as an insult or negatively. It was more of a statement of fact. I can remember, too, after knowing Gabriel, and I had been divorced for about 4.5 years. Again, my ex-husband's statement to me, after I met Gabriel, I began to make some quantum leaps. And he made a comment, and it was to make me feel guilty and hurt me, but it didn't, about how he doesn't know me anymore. I've changed so much that he just doesn't even recognize me. And I said, well, isn't that wonderful? You know, isn't that great? I'm growing. And he just sort of looked at me. But I do remember, too, when my ex-husband and I were in the process of breaking up, he had said to me, you're unpredictable. You're changing too much. I don't understand you. And I can't predict where you're going or what you're going to say or who you're going to be. And he was in a lot of pain with that. And I was in a lot of pain, but I had to do that. I had no choice but to change. But those are some things that can happen to us with people that we really care about when all of a sudden we begin to make some serious changes. And that struggle that I've had with these people in the third dimension is that my frame of reference kept expanding, because I was always so hungry for more. And as I grew then emotionally and intellectually and spiritually, that expanded and theirs didn't. So many times when I was having a conversation or relating, they wouldn't understand where I was coming from. And my values kept changing and they became different than what I was brought up with and that type of thing. Santine once said a couple years ago that we need to continually expand our frame to hang our thoughts on. And if we don't expand our frame, we're trying to expand our thoughts, we won't have anything to hang them on to, and they won't stay with us. And here, our thoughts do certainly grow, and they become bigger as we study and implement these revelatory teachings that we're studying. And from studying the Urantia book, we know that within divine pattern is constant change. We're told that the universe is everywhere undergoing change, and that change is evolutionary. It's growing, it's progressive, ascending, ever more moving towards perfection. And we also know that out of divine pattern, change is that if you're out of divine pattern and there's change, it is not progressive, but retrogressive. It's going backwards. And so that kind of change happens usually as a result of rebellion, denying divine order and divine pattern, as it happened in the system of Satania with Lucifer. And as a result, our world, Urantia, this earth, has gone through many, many changes, but very little progress has happened in those changes, according to the standards of the planetary mortal epics. Change in divine pattern begins in paradise with that third source and center, the conjoint actor. A divine counselor tells us in the Urantia book that that God of action, the conjoint actor, is the apparent ancestor of motion, change, and relationship. The conjoint actor is action, and action is motion, change, modification, coordination, stabilization, and equilibrium. A perfecter of wisdom tells us that death and decay are not part of the cycle of life on the Havona worlds. In the central universe, the lower living things undergo the transmutation of materialization. They do change form and manifestation, but they do not resolve by process of decay and cellular death. In the super universes of space and time, there is constant motion happening, change by means of evolution and unfoldment. This constant movement and change happens on the physical, the mindal, and the spiritual levels. It happens in the formulation of astronomical systems, as well as in the personal ascension of an individual personality. Even creator suns go through continual growth and change and are actually reckoned a different order after their seven bestowals because their change is so radical. Their name changes from being a creator sun to a master sun to indicate that transformation. A mighty messenger says, "True, the bestowal son is still and nonetheless a creator, but he has added to his nature the experience of a creature, which forever removes him from the divine level of a creator son and elevates him to the experiential plane of a master son, one who has fully earned the right to rule a universe and administer its worlds." Note that after the transformation to Master Sun, this paradise-level personality, his work changes. He gets even more responsibility. In fact, as a personality grows through experience and changes, their work changes on any level of universe reality, regardless of whether they're at a super universe level or at our level here on Urantia. I find it interesting that one high in authority tells us on page 278 of the Urantia book that the conciliators to the super universe major sectors work changes in character as they advance. Their work changes in character as they advance. There is less and less of misunderstanding to adjudicate and more of mysterious phenomena to explain and interpret. From stage to stage, they are evolving from arbiters of differences to explainers of mysteries. Judges evolving into interpretive teachers. Arbiters of those who, through ignorance, permit difficulties and misunderstandings to arise they once were. But they are now becoming instructors of those who are sufficiently intelligent and tolerant to avoid clashes of mind and wars of opinions. The higher a creature's education, the more respect he has for the knowledge, experience, and opinions of others. And that last sentence I'd like to repeat again because I think it's very, very applicable to us here. The higher a creature's education, the more respect he or she has for the knowledge, experience, and opinions of others. Now we can apply all of that right here in divine administration on our human level. As individuals, When we progress, we personally move out of having personal conflicts, disagreements, resentments, and so on with others. Somehow, in our movement forward, we coordinate and cooperate with others rather than bumping heads with them. As a group or government of people ascend, the less time and energy there needs to be for the jobs of helping resolve differences and disagreements, and more energy and time can be given to those jobs of teaching higher cosmic truths, the higher mysteries. One of the reasons that not much information on the higher mysteries is given at our community transmissions is that as a group, we're not yet ready for that. We're still at the stage of transition, moving from our lower minds to our higher ones. We still need to be adjudicated and corrected. And that is why volumes 3 and 4 of the Cosmic Family are not even available to the world. For the people of Urantia are not yet qualified for that higher information. They still need to be adjudicated in their misunderstandings of reality and of each other. In order for us to make that shift in how we relate to each other, we need to relate to each other in our present and our potential rather than in our past. What we were like yesterday or a year ago or 10 years ago, or for that matter, in a past life. Too often, some want to blame their difficulty in relating to someone else on astral problems. I'm sure that we had an unhealthy and harmful relationship in a past life, and that is why I don't like you. I'm sure that you hurt me. Nyah, nyah, nyah. Does that sound familiar? Can we all relate to that? Maybe so. Maybe that is a reality. But this is not like a high school reunion. This is a reunion of cosmic family. A union, not a disunion of souls in divine administration. This is divine pattern. We can't relate to someone because they didn't clean the kitchen the way they were supposed to yesterday, and I'm still angry at them, and I'm going to carry that boy. I don't like him today. We can't do that. We have to relate to that person in the moment, and we have to give them credit that they've moved forward, a little bit anyway. The Urantia book tells us that the ministering personalities of the third source and center, as well as the ones of our local universe mother spirit, they don't see us in all of our error and messiness. They see us in our potential, in what we are destined to become. If they saw us only in our messiness, they wouldn't be around, I can guarantee it. Of course, they do realize our dio stuff, but they don't relate to our dio. They don't relate to our lower selves, our unreal selves. They relate to our higher selves, who we really are in our personality circuitry. And that's how Jesus related to others. Even when he was admonishing and adjudicating and correcting others, he was relating to their higher selves in that correction. The lower self doesn't want to be corrected, and thus will ignore and deny the correction. But the higher self will take that correction to heart and to mind and change. That is why Judas was the only apostle of the 12 who did not stick it out, who walked out of his higher destiny, because he was not willing to make the changes needed to truly be a change agent. The other 11 were. And that is why Judas went scuttling back to his old friends and family who did not want to truly move forward in their own understanding of God and reality. And thus they nurtured his lower self and fed it. Remember the story about we each have a black wolf, which is the one that's out of divine pattern and the white wolf, and we can feed either one. Which one are we feeding? That pattern of going backwards is still happening with individuals and groups today. It's not progression, it's that retrogression. I think of Andon and Fanta, who had to change their loyalty to their family and their tribe. They had to move into a loyalty to their higher destiny in order to have a change of mind and heart, and then act on a decision that was a quantum leap for humankind 1 million years ago. And if they hadn't made that quantum leap, if they hadn't shifted in their loyalties, how much longer would it have been before humankind could have made that quantum leap? Even Jesus had to change his loyalties to his immediate family and his village of Nazareth to a larger loyalty of the people of this world, and in fact, to the personalities of his entire universe. In order for Jesus, as a human, to change his loyalties, he had to expand and grow in his mind and heart, in his understanding of God, of who he, Jesus, was, and of reality. That pattern of expansion in understanding and loyalties is crucial for the evolution of not only an individual, but for the survival of a race of people. The Urantia book tells us that the consciousness of a group must evolve from loyalty to the tribe to loyalty to the super tribe in order for that group to survive. Today, we destiny reservists must expand in our loyalties to ourself and family. We must expand that to the cosmic family, and then we must expand it to the people of the world and on to all persons in Satania, for the good of all in the system of Satania. I recall a place in the Urantia book where Jesus went up to spend some time, many days in fact, communing with the Father. And when he came down from the mountain, one of his apostles did not even immediately recognize him because Jesus had gone through so many inner changes in that time that he had communion with his Father. And this wasn't when Jesus came back in his Urantia body. He was still in the same body, that physical body. Jesus' family felt hurt and frustrated and confused by his drastic changes when he went into his public ministry, because his relationship with his family changed when it was time for him to move into that public ministry. His mother even said that he had changed so much that she didn't know her son anymore. Jesus' family's pride and loyalty to the family traditions and expectations kept most of them from benefiting from his wonderful public ministry while he was alive. Many in his family did benefit after he passed on, but not while he was living in human form with them. The Urantia book says that in order for a religious organization to truly survive, it must symbolize that which is permanent, absolute, in the presence of unceasing change. We're told that true religion is designed to change man's environment, but much of the religion found among mortals today has become helpless to do this. Environment all too often has mastered religion. And Jesus said that the purpose of true religion is to change a race and exalt a nation. And Jesus also said that the religion of the mind ties you hopelessly to the past. The religion of the spirit consists in progressive revelation and ever beckons you on toward higher and holier achievements in spiritual ideals and eternal realities. Just as the individuals aligned with divine administration must be in continual change and growth in order to remain in this environment. And if an individual cannot keep up with the growth, then they cannot remain in this environment, for the environment does keep changing as the organization changes. This week, I want you to focus on a person that rubs you the wrong way. You know, they walk in the room and you're just, you're bristling. Okay, I want you to think about that person, that one person, and I want you to begin to try to relate to them in the moment, rather than what you think they did to you yesterday or last week or 2 years ago or three lifetimes ago or whatever it is. I want you to try to see them with new eyes. Try to see them as Jesus sees them, as celestial over control sees them, in their potential and in their growing. And Jesus did say, for anyone that you're having a problem with, that you got an attitude about, if you want to change your attitude about that person and you're really struggling, begin to pray for them every day. And don't pray, oh, please help them get out of their grouchiness and their horrible ways, change them to become better. Don't pray that. Pray that they will be blessed, that they will find joy that day or whatever, something like that. Don't pray from a place of self-righteous judgment, but pray from a place of love and appreciation and sincere desire for that person to be fulfilled and happy. Have fun with that assignment. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. An ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.